Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 9:35 through 10:8. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Here ends the reading.
When I first moved to Iowa in the summer of 2000, Danny Loving Cartwright, who currently serves us as our regional minister here in the Southwest region of the Christian Church, was the deputy regional minister of the Christian Church in the Upper Midwest, which includes Iowa, Minnesota, North, and South Dakota. Upon entering the Upper Midwest in the midsummer, Danny offered up a pearl of wisdom to me. She said, "In August, when you go to church on Sundays, no matter what you do, never leave your windows rolled down or your car unlocked. Because if you do, someone is bound to put a bag or a box of tomatoes in there." I kind of chuckled at the thought, thought it was kind of silly. And then came the following summer. And I learned the truth of this wisdom from the activity in my own backyard garden. In mid to late summer, I had tomatoes and cucumbers running out of my ears. I gave them away to neighbors. I gave them away to people in the Bible study group that I led. I put them in a box and placed them in the fellowship hall for the gathering time in between worship and Sunday school. And I was harvesting daily. It seemed as though it would never end. I had run out of people to give them to. We had our fill at home. And so finally, I called the food bank in Des Moines. I had a big laundry basket full to the top of ripe tomatoes that needed a home because I couldn't bear the idea of throwing them away. I was grateful to learn that the food bank could take and disperse homegrown vegetables, so off I went to give them away. It was indeed a plentiful harvest. In our reading in Matthew's version of the gospel this morning, Jesus tells his disciples that the harvest is plentiful. But he wasn't talking about cucumbers and tomatoes. What do you suppose he was talking about? People. Yes, even amidst the supposedly religious climate of the Jewish people, there was a plentiful harvest of people who needed a saving relationship with God, who needed to be restored in that relationship and made one with their Creator again. When I was attending a follow-up seminar on discipleship that was associated with the Will Graham celebration, one of the truths that they held up for us and reminded us of, it was a threefold truth. That we live in a time when, one, people have never been further from Jesus. Two, people have never known less about Jesus. Three, people have never been more ready to hear about Jesus. We live in a culture where church attendance has declined in all faith traditions, and people can no longer assume that the people around them where they work and live and play are Christians, know the basics of the faith, and don't need anyone to share the good news with them because they already know it. That's just not true anymore. We are standing and looking out upon an incredible harvest, much like Jesus described for his first century apostles. We are surrounded by people who need the Lord because honestly, everybody needs the Lord. It's in the very fabric of our design. It's part of how the Creator made us, to be in relationship with God and one another. After letting them know how full the horizon was with need and opportunity, Jesus tells his disciples, "Ask God to send laborers out into the harvest." At that point, I suppose the disciples trusted and obliged, and they asked God to send out laborers into the harvest. Guess what? God did. God sent them to be the laborers in the harvest. It's really easy for us to sit back and think of that harvesting of souls, or the E word, or whatever you choose to call it, as a job for a committee or the pastor or someone else, because it's really not my thing. But guess what? It's everybody's thing. Out of your own compassion for those who are lost, you may pray that God would send someone to light the way. But you need to be prepared for the fact that the answer to your prayer is probably going to be that God sends you. And if not to that particular person, then God's got a job for you somewhere in the harvest fields. Looking back at our motif of harvest, whether your field is a small garden patch in your backyard or a couple thousand acres of corn in Iowa or a peach tree grove in Parker County, it requires care. And not just at the point of harvest. It starts well before then. First, there is the cultivating of the soil, planting of seeds, nurturing young plants so that they may grow healthy and mature. The relationship of care begins long before they bear fruit. Seems like there might be a life application here. True faith sharing, or evangelism, that's the E word, by the way, or harvesting cannot take place until you have first developed a relationship of care and nurture. You must first take time to know a person and care about them and their needs before you'll be effective in your mission. Another truth from the garden is that the harvest isn't usually a once and done kind of thing. Every day for several days, I would go out and pick tomatoes and cucumbers and peppers and okra. And when I lived in Iowa, very few people there knew what okra was, so that was really hard to give away. But I had to keep harvesting every day. Check to see if it was ready. If not, see if it needed something. Go back and check again tomorrow. Translate that into our Christian journey, and it means that you can't invite a person one time to one Bring a Friend Sunday some 5 years ago and think you've done your job and completed your mission. As long as you are breathing, you are a laborer in the field of God. And the harvest is one that takes place in all places and all times. And look for it in the most surprising of places, for often that is just where God likes to work. Finally, in our garden, if we do not nurture and then harvest the fruit when it is ripe, if we leave it there and wait for it to fall off, roll down the hill, and into our kitchen before we use it, what's going to happen? It's going to rot on the vine, fall to the ground, and perish. Now, this one is pretty easy to translate, but not one we like to listen to or take too seriously. We are uncomfortable when we talk about that perishing part. We don't like thinking about people being eternally lost or separated from God, but guess what? It happens. People are made to be in relationship with God, and when they're not, they will try with all manner of things and people and activities to fill that God-shaped hole inside of them to no avail. They will come up empty, and they will end their days on earth, never having known the loving and redeeming grace of God in Christ Jesus. We don't like to think about this part, because then we recognize what is at stake, and we see our responsibility in the matter. When Cain asked God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" the answer was yes. We are harvesters in God's field, fishers of men and women. Every one of us, and matters of eternal importance and the here and now are at stake. True obedience to the call means this is not optional. And it's a big job, and we all have to do it. But take heart. We go back to our reading from Matthew this morning. Take a look again at what happens. When Jesus called those disciples together, he gave them the power to preach, to teach, to heal, and restore, and bring wholeness. Not of their own wits and strength, but through God. When we are working for the Lord, God supplies our needs, gives us the words and the strength to step out in faith. In Luke's account of the sending out, it is 70 instead of the 12. But the part that I particularly like is when they come back with great joy and exuberance and amazement at what they were able to accomplish. These great and miraculous things that they did because they trusted in God and acted in God's holy name. The same goes for us, too. If we follow our call, trust God to be there and provide us what we need for the labor, the harvest will be bountiful, and God will be greatly glorified. So, let us ask God to send out laborers into the harvest. Then, go put on your garden hat and your yard shoes and get ready to go to work.